Hour number two, thank you for being with us here on The Lowdown. If you missed any part of that 12 o'clock hour, we encourage you to subscribe to The Lowdown podcast on iTunes. Have every single episode, each and every day, Monday through Friday, delivered right to your mobile phone or listening device. Anthony Tolliver of your Sacramento Kings will join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. And George Karl, former Sacramento Kings coach and author of Furious George, will be with us at 2:40. The Knicks and Carmelo saga continues to develop now. Apparently everything's okay, as Ramona Shelburne reports that Melo told Phil he wants to stay in New York. But the meeting was contentious. Mm-hmm. But Woj says it was businesslike. It was totally calm. Now I'm going to have to Google the definition of the word contentious, because maybe I don't understand what can you be contentious and calm at the same time?
I don't know, but this is going right to what Ken didn't like, right? Multiple sources, multiple differing reports.
That's why I ignore
all
journalists on Twitter. I ignore you. Because if you had the story right.
It's content, man. It's fun. Come
on. If you had the story and you had it complete, you would have said that in your tweet, and you would have taken me to another site that had the full story or told me to go to the show. But you don't have anything. You're trying to keep me on the line. That's what that nonsense tweet is called. I define that with two letters. One is the second letter in the alphabet. B.
I thought it was going to be an F, but go ahead.
The other comes ahead of the T in the alphabet.
I thought it would have been a U, but cool.
Nope.
White Men Can't Jump is getting remade.
Is it?
Yep. It's trending on Twitter right now.
You can't be serious.
I'm very serious, and you know who's remaking it? The creator of, wait for it, Black-ish.
Oh,
I don't know. I never watched it. I've heard the show is very good. I've heard the show is very good, but I was always offended by the very first commercial they ever aired, so I never watched the show.
Can I talk to you for like 30 seconds?
About Black-ish?
Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
Can I talk to you for like 30 seconds, brother?
You can talk to me. We got Three the Hard Way coming up here in just a few minutes. The 49ers, breaking news, they still don't have a coach.
Nope.
Or a general manager. You thought the Sacramento Kings took their time? Holy crap. Okay. Give it to me.
You don't have to watch the entire season. There's one episode that I believe is the greatest single episode in the history of sitcoms. It is the episode that is about biracial families. And it's exceptional, Damian. It is exceptional. It goes to the root of things that biracial individuals have to deal with that no show has ever thought of or touched, because no show's ever been written by African-Americans, for African-Americans, about their specific experience.
So here's the problem with commercials and how you put something out there for the very first time. You see all the commercials for Black-ish, and there's the scene that they air time and time and time again in the bumper spot where it's Anthony Anderson telling, what's her name, Ross, his wife.
Tracy
Ellis Ross, that they're talking about something black, and he looks right at her. Tracy Ellis, 10 times darker than me, and says, "You're not even black." From that moment, I was like, screw that. That's a problem. I'm not watching that show.
I feel you, but that was part of the point, to get you in, because she's biracial.
That was enough for me to give you the finger, to where if I saw Anthony Anderson, I would say, I know nothing about your show except this one spot. Explain to me why I should watch that and not be offended. But I've heard the show is great, and I've heard you can't judge it on that commercial. But I couldn't get past that. We've had long, in-depth conversations on this radio show about that very topic.
And that they jumped in that on the show about, like, when he said that to her on the show, she's like, what? You know, and then she goes back to all the stuff she had to deal with growing up with a white father and a black mother and all the ways he made her feel. It's great. Like, they don't just toss that stuff out there, and they don't get all heavy. It's super funny, but it's truth. And I really believe. I'm going to send you the one episode, man. I kid you not. It's awesome.
Text Nation 44-1140 not reacting favorably to the White Men Can't Jump remake.
Hmm.
Same Text Nation, all in on Black-ish. So I guess it's I'll give it a chance. And
but yeah,
that's that
the
first
White
episode.
Men Can't Jump. Not necessarily.
Any leaks on who's playing parts or no in that show?
No sources. Who's doing that yet? Not yet. But as soon as we get it, we'll pass it along to you with our Twitter journalism that Ken Rudolph is so very high on. I think it would be a great idea if the Dallas Cowboys named their starting quarterback like Maury Povich style.
Ooh.
Next year. Like, Dak Prescott, you are not the quarterback.
No, and then he runs like a mile around the studio. Oh, no, man. No.
Damn.
And Romo just dances and taunts him.
Romo's in the other room because always the person who is like six.
They're on split screens.
Yeah, they're in another room. He's like, oh, I am. All right.
He's in the room. They pan out. Jerry's right next to him.
Exactly. See, I told you. I told you, Tony. Stick with me.
And Mark Sanchez thinks he has a chance.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, who's going to be your backup next year?
Tony Romo.
You're still sticking with that.
I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
I'm sticking with it.
All right.
I don't know. It might be Dak Prescott at the rate we are. That came about because Jason Garrett did not say that Dak Prescott would be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys next year.
And I guess he kind of can't say that right now because Tony's still there and under contract. And you don't want to just completely just rip Tony's heart out and going into the offseason. Like, you got to, don't you have to make him think he's going to play?
It's not the offseason. I mean, you got a couple months. You have a couple months before the trade starts to influence the amount of cap hit that you take. So I think it's the beginning of March. It's somewhere near the beginning of March because I remember Peyton. They made the decision on Peyton. I think it was either in the middle of March. So, yeah, it's somewhere around there.
And they got to do it before draft day, right?
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
So they can see where they stand.
Yeah, so they can decide what secondary person they take so they don't give up third and 26 passes
on the
sideline.
I don't think that's the fault of your defensive backs. That's the fault of your defensive coordinator for only rushing three down linemen and going with like a prevent defense on third and 20 against Aaron
Rodgers. Because if there's one thing we know as NFL fans, right? The prevent defense always works. Mm. When has the prevent defense ever failed?
No, it prevents you from winning.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yes.
It prevents anything from going right. Yes. It prevents your fan base from loving you.
Yep. Prevent defense is horrible.
Garbage.
I'm going home. Well, I'll lead us off since we were having this conversation here in the first hour. There was a lot of talk about rivalries, LeBron James doing his very passive-aggressive stuff that he does, saying, no, we don't have a rivalry with the Golden State Warriors. Draymond Green countering that with, yeah, we do have a rivalry with them. Two questions here. One, Cavs-Warriors, is it a rivalry? Jason, I think you already answered that. Two, is there a great rivalry in sports right now?
Yeah, so the first one, yes, that is a rivalry. And I think it is a good one. I think they have it. I really do, especially if they meet again. For a third finals in a row where they've each split, they've clearly, you know, we're trying to find a reason not to put the Cavs there. We think the Warriors are going to go there. So they're the two best teams. They've got one of the greatest players we've ever seen in LeBron filled with against this other team that's just stacked with talent. I just think there's so many great storylines, even this yesterday with LeBron and Draymond and going back to last year. So I think that is a rivalry. I think it's a good rivalry. And then I still think there's a bunch of the natural ones, but still to me the best rivalries come from college. I just think that's where the best ones naturally come from.
Those feel different though, Jason. Like those are like every year, no matter what, those are going to be a rivalry.
They exist,
There's going to be that there. There's rivalry week.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's always there. But is there a Bulls Pistons, a Lakers Celtics, like is there something like that? Cowboys 49ers maybe. Is there something like that there in the world of sports right now?
Well, I think Cavs Warriors, they don't play all the time. I think there is something Warriors Clippers, but then the Clippers never beat them.
Yeah.
So it feels like it's a little one-sided. And then some of the football ones that are in place fluctuate because the teams so often do, but I think one that's been pretty consistent is Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I think the Ravens and Steelers is genuinely – like there's a lot of history with the Bears and the Packers, but the Bears haven't been very good for the last couple of years.
Well, I agree with you. I think definitely Warriors and Cavs, probably the closest thing we have now to a legitimate rivalry in the NBA. And people will say, well, they haven't played enough. You hit it. If they play one more time, that's three times in the finals.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times the Lakers and Celtics met in the finals in the 80s?
Three.
Three times.
Yeah. And it felt like every year.
But it felt like because one of those two teams was in.
Yeah.
It seemed like every year, but they didn't face each other every single year. And everyone gets that confused. Only three times. So if these teams hook up again, I think it's already a rivalry anyway. LeBron wants to play that little cat and mouse game. That's on him.
Yeah.
But Draymond and the rest of those guys, they're like, no, player, this is a rivalry. You can get fired up when we play, or you can get beat down like you did last night.
Yeah.
Your choice. But we're coming to play. I think Pittsburgh and New England is a rivalry. Anytime you have teams that continue to meet in the playoffs in some way, shape, or form, for the last like 10 to 12 years, every single year they got to hook up. There's something there, I think. But I feel like baseball still has the natural rivalries because you have to play. You have to play the Giants in the, every year.
Yeah.
Dodgers and Giants, you got to go at it.
Yankees, Red Sox.
You got to go at it. There's no avoiding it. So I think, like you said, college sports definitely.
Today is the first of 27 meetings between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, why do I care? Like, why am I supposed to care? First game of the year, they build. It's the Red Sox and the Yankees. Yes, well, you're going to build this game up 27 more times. Can we wait till it matters? Because it doesn't matter right now.
Well, it still always matters because of the trade.
Yes, the Babe Ruth trade from 2,000 years ago.
It shifted the balance of power. Red Sox were the power. They trade Babe Ruth. The power goes to New York. Boston resents that.
But why do I care that? Why when they play so much, Jason, does it matter?
Well, but then
if it's not in the playoffs, why does it matter?
Well, and if we're only limiting it to games that matter, then we're not going to have very many. I mean, honestly, because you could have this year, UCLA-USC, that's a rivalry for me.
But that game happens once. That game's happened once a year.
But it didn't really matter. If we're going on record, I mean, SC had a better record. UCLA wasn't going anywhere. UCLA wanted to win.
Yeah, I feel like colleges are different because it's always going to matter. Like, I feel like, you could say the Redskins and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
You could say the Cowboys and the Eagles. You could say any team and their division opponent. There's rivalries there. But, I mean, I feel like rivalries have been, like, we're getting a couple of texts here at 44-1140. Sid and Ovi, that's a great one. The Penguins and the Capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Probably true there. Like, that's a rivalry. But it's between players. It's similar to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning miraculously playing each other every single year despite not being in the same division ever. But they're always playing each other.
Yeah.
Because that's the rivalry that the NFL wanted to focus on. But that had a lot less to do with Colts-Patriots, Broncos-Pats than it did Brady and Manning.
Mm-hmm.
It was an individual rivalry. So I don't think there are any. Warriors and Cavs, I do feel is one because I don't know how many people don't expect them to be in the finals this year against each other. So you start talking about 3 years in a row. Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Yep. Someone should call LeBron.
Yeah.
So, yes, thanks. I'm going to let him know.
All right. You know what? I was thinking about this last night when Mr. James did not do anything in that game. I was like, I'm just kind of watching the behavior of athletes, and I started to think, I was thinking about something that happened in a football game to you the other day. I was like, that's weird. Who is the biggest diva in sports? And what I mean by a diva is, obviously, they've got this attitude that makes them bigger or better than everyone else, but also, you can't touch them. You can't foul them. You can't do anything because they are, like, untouchable. That kind of diva. They think that they're untouchable. And you, if you do anything to them, the punishment seems to be a little bit more for you than it would be for any other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's been a LeBron-heavy show today, man. I love LeBron James, but that's probably – I don't know that there's anyone more protected than LeBron.
Oh, yeah, there is.
There is? Oh, I'm curious.
Yeah, me too.
Interest peaked. Because I would say
sports.
LeBron. Yeah. I mean, first text right here is LeBron James as well from Text Nation at 44-1140. First name that comes to your mind, Jason?
Honestly, once you kind of put the caveat of protected, that it did kind of change it a little bit. But the name that came to my mind for some reason was Bryce Harper. I feel like his attitude, his persona, he is really good too. But there's an air about him that just kind of, to me, I've always felt that. And I don't even know the guy, but that's the way it feels like with me and him.
I could see that completely. Yeah.
Surprised no one that I love Bryce Harper. I enjoy watching him. I'm dying. Who is it?
I think it's Tom Brady. On the field, you can't touch Tom Brady. And not only that.
Yeah, you can't touch most quarterbacks.
He feels that way.
Oh, that's true.
Like the hit the other day that he thought was not legal, but totally was. Mm-hmm. But he thought he got up and got nuts. If you've ever seen Tom Brady when he thinks something has gone against them on the field, I don't think he's like a petulant little 6-year-old boy. He goes crazy. And I'm like, dude, what you think?
I'm going to go tell Bill on you.
Right. I'm like, you think you can't get penalties? What you guys can't get? Stuff can't happen to you?
No,
what's wrong with
Brady
you?
Brady doesn't get penalties.
This is what I'm saying. That's why I believe he's total diva behavior.
When was the last time Brady was ever called for intentional grounding? Can we look that up?
Question.
Has he ever been? When was the last time Brady was flagged for a penalty?
Right. That's a good.
Because quarterbacks can commit penalties.
I've heard that.
Just a rumor.
Not him, though.
He's really disciplined. couple of responses here. Okay, Tom Brady right now is the overwhelming favorite. Brandon, Alex, all of them going with, man, a whole lot of people going with Tom Brady. How about Odell Beckham Jr.?
There you go. There's one.
That's a good one.
Absolutely. Things don't go his way, starts crying.
Things go his way, he proposes to a kicking net.
Right? Yes. That's all diva behavior. Watch what Mariah Carey does. That's all diva stuff. When stuff doesn't, you make a mistake, but it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Stuff doesn't go your way, so you start crying and whining. You don't go in there and work harder and fix it.
People are calling Tom Brady
you
some
complain.
Unpleasant terms here on.
I know wide receivers get most of that label. Do you think Josh Norman is one?
See, I let DBs do whatever they want because those dudes are out there
that
on an island.
Deion was.
Yeah, Deion
was. Yeah, that's true. Deion You're right. Was. But he backed it up. I mean, he stepped up
when he
had to.
Except when them damn hamstrings caught him.
Yeah. Man, you got all those muscles and you're that fast, man.
Hey, they're running at me. My hamstring hurts. I got to be in front of that fullback.
Whatever hamstrings got him.
That's one of those things that we all learned as kids. Like, I remember doing that. I think I was racing somebody. I was like 12, and I thought I was going to win the race, and this guy came back and got me. So I pull up.
Yeah.
I'm 12 years old. My hamstring. I was going to win, too. That's just me trying to save face. Guys just do that all the time.
A couple of more coming in here. Cam Newton's getting some votes here. Sid the Kid. Floyd Money Mayweather. Richard Sherman. Mad Bum. Is Mad Bum a diva? That's not one that would have.
Yeah, I didn't. I called him a bully.
Is that because he tries to intimidate people on the plate? And
yeah.
You can't
look at him. Don't look at me.
Yeah, that's. I mean, don't look.
Get off my lawn. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Still one of the best shirts ever. One of the best trolling jobs by a team
that
in
was good.
History.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Don't look at me. There was Richard. Oh, the whole Clippers team. That's the one. That
okay.
That's the one that might be something there.
All right, guys, I'm going to go to quarterbacks for the final three the hard way here, and it's about guys that have played for a long, long time but have not been able to get the Super Bowl. So who is more likely to reach the Super Bowl first? And here are your choices. Carson Palmer.
No.
Phillip Rivers.
No.
Jay Cutler.
No.
Alex Smith.
No.
Or Tony Romo. All pretty good. All guys that have had a good career.
Does he have to play to reach the Super Bowl or just be on the team?
We'll go with anything here.
Honorary captain?
Yeah. Went to the game and watched as a fan?
He does the coin toss at the beginning?
Full disclosure, if you remember back, I had the Cardinals and the Packers in the conference championship game.
This year? Okay.
I did not predict Carson Palmer's.
Right.
Yeah, but I was actually leaning more towards the Cardinals being the dominant of the two.
Yeah.
And I guess they would have been given the way that the Packers played the regular season, but I could have seen them falling apart in the playoffs. I didn't expect him to fall off the cliff, you know, so quickly. We used that line a lot this season. Carson Palmer, some quarterbacks declined, some players declined. He just fell straight off the cliff. Alex Smith, this year was as good a year as any. I don't know what's going to make next year different than this year, except the fact Derek Carr hopefully won't be hurt. The Raiders may be a lot better than they were. At least postseason wise. Check out that's cute. That's cute.
I just had to put him in there. I'm like, let me look at longtime QBs. Yeah, so Palmer, Rivers, Cutler, Smith, Romo.
I got to go Romo. I mean,
and we don't even know where. What team
I don't know
or how
where,
or when.
Yeah, anybody at this point. Because I can't. Alex, I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, as they're currently constructed, I mean, if it's any of them, it's Alex Smith to me because Jay Cutler. Unless he winds up on a different – maybe Jay Cutler winds up in Houston. Do you feel better about Houston if Jay Cutler's the quarterback?
Marginally.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
You got Lamar Miller back there. You got DeAndre – hey, DeAndre, run far every time.
Will Fuller
I'll get you the
fourth?
Ball.
I mean, they've got some players. That's a shame for you, Brock Osweiler.
It really is. Well, no, he'll still get paid.
That's true.
What do you think?
I'm kind of like you because I look at every single name and I'm like – So I kind of start with names.
The answer's
that I'm like,
none.
Right? So the first name that I can scratch off that has no shot absolutely is Carson Palmer. Then, you know, Phillip Rivers is in flux right now. He's upset with the Chargers situation. He doesn't want to be in Los Angeles.
He has said that that is not accurate.
Oh, it's not.
He refutes those reports and said he does not want to be traded to San Francisco because that was a rumor that was out there.
Right, but I thought he didn't want to be in L.A. I didn't say specifically
San
Francisco.
He is fine to be in L.A.
Sounds contentious.
But it was calm and businesslike. His approach was calm and businesslike.
Okay, well, if he's staying in San Diego, he's got no shot. So those two are out. Now we go to Tony Romo. I don't know where he's going to be to actually be in contention to go to a Super Bowl.
Dallas. How about them Cowboys?
Nah, he's not going to do that. So he's got no shot. So now we're dealing with Alex Smith and Jay Cutler. And you made a great point. Alex Smith had his best shot ever was this year.
Yeah.
The way that defense was playing, the special teams they had. Now, if they go and get a running back, he could be right back. Because they have zero running game in Kansas City.
Totally forgotten, right? That Jamal Charles was gone essentially for the entire year.
He's not. I can't see him coming back.
He's not.
He's done.
He's not.
So if
he's
Alex
not.
Gets a running back, I think he can win. Man, I'm telling you right now, if Jay Cutler goes to Houston,
They go from 8-8 to 9-7?
10-6.
Big turnaround, baby. Big
they
turnaround.
Go 10-6.
Yeah.
Because at least the guy can throw the ball.
Yeah.
All right. And that dude also.
You pick Cutler.
What do you think?
Yeah, if he goes to Houston.
Yeah.
But at this, the way it stands, I go with Alex Smith.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Alex Smith. I don't know that. It's funny that you guys are writing Palmer off so quickly because I wonder if there's a turnaround there for that. Because, you know, they were trending, had a terrible year. I don't know if they can get that back. But my pick would be Alex Smith.
Now, Carson Palmer is basically Jay Cutler when he gets older.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When Jay Cutler gets old, he's going to be throwing he's going to be throwing those pick sixes like Carson Palmer, just trying to force balls in places that don't belong there.
It might be the best comparison ever.
But, you know, Cutler's still
Carson Palmer light.
Still got a couple of years where if he gets to a place that gets a fresh start, he might be able to do something.
Palmer adjacent?
Very much so. That's what he has to look forward to.
Yeah.
Somebody tell that to Jay Cutler. This is your legacy.
And you'll like it. But can we all agree that the most likely answer to that question is none of them?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Especially when you're of the AFC. If you're in the AFC, good luck getting past Brady and Roethlisberger.
Be their backup. Maybe
you
got to
deal with
in.
Carr and those other guys, too.
Right.
Yeah, you got all that nonsense.
Andrew Luck. Oh, gosh.
Just thanks for mentioning my name, guys. I really appreciate you even putting me in that category.
Go Cardinal. Anthony Tolliver at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. George Carl at 2:40. More of the lowdown. What, you talking about football. What's going on in Indianapolis? Is Chuck Pagano safe, even though everybody was fired like 2 weeks ago? I don't think so. We'll explain next on the lowdown. It is 1:33. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo at Cal Expo this Thursday through Sunday. And you can watch the games this weekend with Sports 1140 at Top Golf. That's Sunday starting at 12 p.m. Top Golf at 1700 Freedom Park Drive in Roseville. You can join us. You can watch the playoffs and enjoy great food, full service bars, upscale facilities, and competitive fun at Top Golf. That's coming up on Sunday. As Ken noted there in that update, strange situation, I think, with Chip Kelly for a number of reasons. One, he's interviewed for the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive coordinator position, as you reported. But I think it was reported, and I think Adam Schefter reported it, he interviewed for the head coaching job as well before they hired Doug Marrone.
Yeah, it was a little bit what did we figure out? Most guys get two jobs or two opportunities, most.
Yep.
Not many get more than that. And if you do, it's because you're really successful. He hasn't been that guy yet.
Yep.
So a little surprising. I don't think it's bad to interview him. But now that he's
– Chip's got two in a really short span in the NFL.
Yes.
He has not been an NFL coach that long.
Yeah. But I think there is an offense – you know, he has a pretty good offense as far as if it clicks. It did certainly at Oregon. I think at times with Philadelphia, his first run there. And then if it's all personnel, he didn't have it at the 49ers. So – now, if he's potentially their coordinator, we'll see if he can make that work. Bortles work.
I mean, that head coach interview for Chip Kelly was basically a Rooney Rule interview anyway. So they just wanted to get him in and get him out of the way.
Bring in the chubby white guy.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Check the box.
Sure. Bring in the college coach. See what he says. Well, what's Jim Irsay's? So Jim Irsay's the latest. He apparently went pretty hard after John Gruden to come in and coach the Indianapolis Colts. And John Gruden has obviously said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm good here. That certainly seems like an appealing job if you're going to come out of the booth to take one. You have your quarterback set. Obviously, you have to build a better offensive line around him, and you have to do something about the defensive side of the ball. But not bad. And to add fun to that, Peyton Manning. He wanted Peyton Manning to come back and head up football operations, similar way that John Elway does for the Denver Broncos.
Oh. Okay, now that's interesting. That's interesting.
I feel like we keep waiting for Peyton's going to pop up somewhere, right? 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 Like, no, he's chilling.
I'm like, he's like, wait a minute, I don't have to talk to football players or play football, yet I make three times as much with my endorsements. I'm good, guys.
That's a good Papa John's commercial.
I'm good.
Yeah.
The one at the party?
Yeah. Where the where the Bronco mascot meets the Colts mascot.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah. Awkward. That is awesome.
Peyton's good at commercials.
Yeah.
He's good at commercials. Why would you want the headache of heading up football operations?
Right?
For a professional team.
And he's got no...
With an owner like Jim Irsay.
Yeah. He's like, I already gave you guys a Super Bowl, right? We're good.
But you said I'm a Colt for life. you said you're a Colt for life. Come back. We're a bit messy here. Gregson's is a problem. Because he blames our franchise quarterback for the reason that the defense sucks.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Well, when you invest that much money in the quarterback position, my gosh, something's got to give.
Why wouldn't would Peyton go work for the Tennessee Titans? Does he have? He's got a tie there.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Or the state of Tennessee?
Or the state of Tennessee.
I don't know. I think he still lives in Indianapolis.
Oh, he still lives there?
I think so.
Wow, okay. All right.
I don't know. I don't know that he'd want to return to Tennessee anyways, the state as a whole. I think they're bringing Philip Fulmer back, though, as the athletic director.
Yeah, he's an athletic director, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That'd be a huge – that's huge for the university.
In a good way?
They need that. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. That place has been in shambles since Philip Fulmer left, and then obviously what went on with Pat. And that university is a shell of what it used to be.
Is it as big as Coach Volek coming back to be
interim AD
at Sac State?
Yeah. The big cat.
Yeah. On par.
He's a great. He's a good football coach here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on par. it's big, perhaps with a lot more zeros at the end SEC Network. It's probably a little more high stakes game. Breaking news: this just in. Your San Francisco 49ers. Oh, yeah, they still don't have a coach or a general manager.
Yeah. I mean, is it really just down to the two? And if so, is it Shanahan? And they're just now just hey, we're not competing against anybody, and this. Respectfully, we'll let him finish.
And McDaniel said no.
Yeah.
All right, well, he withdrew his name from consideration.
I mean, what does that say to you if you're San Francisco? You're like, that's the guy we were going to give you everything, and you don't want it.
Yeah.
Please? You don't want it.
Pretty please?
Cry in the car.
Yeah.
York's going to cry in the car.
We didn't want him anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want him anyway.
What?
Was that Josh? What was that, Josh? Huh? What? Oh.
You just picture like you do these interviews and we want to offer you this job. Josh McDaniels say, I'll call you back. Is he just sitting by his phone looking at it like, hello? Did you ever do that? Like,
hey, is the phone? What's going on with the phone?
Yeah. Call my phone. Make sure it's working.
Right there. Back in the day, Jason Ross, the only one who still has a landline. Did you used to pick it up when you were waiting for a call to make sure there was a dial tone and there wasn't like, it's working.
But of course.
Crap. Do you still do that, Jason?
No.
Okay.
Not anymore.
When you had a landline?
Does anyone call your... He does have a landline. Does anyone call your landline?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
Give me your landline number. I want to call it. Yeah. I totally will call your landline.
I can't reach Jason on his cell. I'm going to call him at home.
I was just thinking about... Okay, not... It just got me thinking of something that I did. I don't think you guys ever did this, but in the 90s, when they first came out with car phones, did anyone have one?
Not right away, but...
No. And these are not car phones that are actually installed in your car. I had what was called... I literally had what's called a mobile phone.
Was it the one with the bag?
Yes! It was the bag, and you plugged the thing into, I think, the charger,
That's
right?
A car phone.
Was he?
My aunt had one of those. She's the only person I knew who had one.
And I had one, yeah.
Now I know, too.
It was awesome! Mm.
My aunt was like the rich one in the family for a long time. She had like the Cadillac and the car phone. She'd plug in the bag and then take the bag out and call Aunt Didi on a car phone. Like, okay.
Oh, man, I thought I was a baller. I got myself a car phone from Circuit City. Big doings, man. It was big doings.
Circuit City's been out of business since like 1991.
How big was the bag? Was it a pretty hefty bag?
It's like, let me see if I can. It's like the... It's about 8 by 8.5 by 11. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
But it was kind of
legal size, legal paper size.
But it was kind of thick.
Yeah.
Because I guess I never opened like the bag to see the components that was inside.
Now I know you won't get this reference because you got hot about it the other day. But did you ever have like the big Zach Morris cell phone, the big block cell phone?
Oh, the brick.
Like the New Jack City phone.
No, I never had a brick. No.
Did you, Jason?
I didn't either.
When was that,
I wanted
was,
one, though.
Was that brick before? It's before that bag. That phone that I was
no,
talking
I don't
about,
think it was before
was
the car phone. I think it was after.
But that wasn't actually
cell
a cell phone, was it?
I thought
it was
so.
Like a home phone that was just that big that didn't have a wire to it.
No, was just like your next door neighbor would come outside with that. I had neighbors that would have their wireless, the outside. Like, you know, you can't get that far from that base. Mm-hmm. You better go back inside. You know, you can't hear anything.
It's breaking up.
Come home, hoping the little red light on it's blinking. You got a message. Anthony Tolliver of your Sacramento Kings will join us at 2 o'clock. George Karl at 2:40. And why is the NBA worried about shortening games? We'll explain next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. It is 1:46. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo at Cal Expo Thursday through Sunday. Thank you for being here with us on the Lowdown. Anthony Tolliver coming up 15 minutes, top of the 2 o'clock hour. Anthony Tolliver, of course, of your Sacramento Kings and former Sacramento Kings coach and author of Furious George. George Karl will be with us at 2:40. A couple of questions here. Text Nation 44, 1140. Did Ken answer his mobile phone while wearing his members only jacket?
Oh, it's not that old.
Oh.
Members only was when I was like junior high.
Nope, that didn't work either. Oh, we completely, your mic is gone. We completely.
Wow.
Rudolph has been censored.
Wow.
Rudolph, your mic is literally shut down. Rudolph has been censored. How many have been waiting for that? Can we get that one hot? Oh, we got a problem here. We're losing mics.
I'll let it know. We're losing power.
We're losing mics, everybody. Hang tight.
Oh, I think
tight.
That's what it was.
Okay. I'm here.
He'll be back. Ken's I think here. He'll be back in your original
We're all safe.
Minute.
Get back over there.
We might have to wait another minute, but.
Have no fear, folks. Ken Rudolph will be back. He
why
was saying.
Do this to my mic?
You know why.
I ain't even saying it.
You know why. I'm a free black man.
This is a preemptive strike.
They knew the mics just knew you were about to say something stupid and completely shut down. Let's see. I had a brick phone. It would get so hot you could iron your shirt with it. My first cell phone was a Nokia 100. It was 8 inches long and weighed 4 pounds. Hmm. All right, then. Again, Anthony Tolliver at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. George Karl at 2:40. Adam Silver gave a press conference the other day while in London and said, and I'll read this quote here for you as Ken's mic comes back on. Did you do the snap?
I did. Just check
the red light.
Oh. Well, my blue light's been on the whole time, so I don't trust the lights.
Yeah. Okay,
you know
understand.
What I'm saying?
I completely understand. Red means hot, which you seem like you might be a little bit right now.
No,
hot.
I'm good. What did you ask me?
Nothing, Ken. I didn't ask you anything.
Oh, members only was junior high school, and I lost my dad's jacket that he gave me.
Oh, Dad wasn't happy, was he?
Dude, sore spot. You don't even know.
You can still feel that ass whooping, can't
you? You do not know.
Adam Silver, in relation to the lengths of the games, it's something that I know all of sports are looking at right now, and that is the format of the game and the length of the time it takes to play the game. Obviously, people, particularly millennials, have an increasingly short attention span, so it's something as a business we need to pay attention to. When the last few minutes of the game take an extraordinary amount of time, sometimes it's incredibly interesting for fans, others, it's not. Are games in the NBA too long?
It's not my issue. I've never had an issue with any of this in sports, but people do. I don't think that, you know, you're not going to change the length of the game, but maybe shave off a 20-second timeout and a full timeout from each team, anything? Because there are a lot of timeouts.
Hey,
that I would agree with.
How about you don't call a timeout when you're up 33 in the second half?
Yeah.
Steve Kerr last night. Just a thought.
You got to stop the other team's momentum.
Stop that run.
Yeah. I don't find the games to be – I do think that the last 2 minutes of most NBA games, it's rather tedious.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that. I think I'm really – and I think this shows that I'm officially an old man. I'm just tired of trying to cater to millennials.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this stuff's been here before they got here. don't care about them. Let them take their money to Pokemon Go. You've already got a fan base. Keep your sport nice and tight and clean and just keep everything going in the right direction. Don't quit changing and put on these bells and whistles to attract some people who are going to dislike it in 2 years anyway.
Well, no, what you're going to be doing, that's not the case. They're not going to dislike it. But no matter how long or short the game is, when you go to the Golden One Center, and you were going to run into this when you build an arena that actually has good Wi-Fi, and I've been in most of the arenas in the NBA. Jason, I know you've been in every single one of them, but you probably haven't ever had to worry about this in an arena. Kids are going to get on their phone. I had my credential on that has that Golden One Center lanyard on it, and I was dressed the way I was for the Cleveland game that night, and I was talking to my buddy on the concourse and had a kid who was probably 9 years old walk up to me and say, hey, do you know the Wi-Fi password? I looked at him. I said, well, first, the Wi-Fi is free. I'll show you which one it is. Second, dude, you're at the Kings and Cavs. Yeah. What do you need the Wi-Fi password for? So I got to post the pictures.
Like, okay.
All right, young fella.
That's acceptable.
You
know what?
But when you're at the games, I was guilty of this when we were sitting together the other night. People look down at their phones. You know, people are on their phones more times than they're looking at the screen.
It's not
or
kids.
More times than they're looking at the game.
It's not only. It's everybody. I got a pretty good, you know, from where our perch is, I'm looking. So
you can
many
see
people
everything.
Are on the phone. I mean, so many during the game. I'm just like, wow, are you watching at all? I mean, you could be, you could multitask, but I'm like, man, their heads are in the phone more so than watching the game.
And then some people might say, well, you know, if the product on the floor were better, they'd be more compelled to watch. I'm like, no, because we've watched games on national television, and you'll see people courtside.
Yeah.
Yep.
Missing the play of the night.
The play of the night because they got their head in their phone like a knucklehead. I don't understand any of that. But by the way, what did I have in my hand the whole night during the basketball game?
A drink and chips.
No phone. I didn't even bring it. I don't bring it to stuff like that. And I wasn't working.
Did you forget it?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't working, so what do I need my phone for? My wife's there. She's got a phone if we have an issue. What do I need my phone for?
Well, really, your wife and your son are there, so there's not going to be an emergency.
Right.
The two
what
most
you're
important
concerned
people
about, yeah.
Exactly. So I don't need my phone. I'm like, I'm here to watch the game, hang out with you, make sure my son's okay. What do I need a phone for?
Yeah. Not everybody thinks that way, though.
Mm-mm.
I had to plan this brilliance for Monday morning, so I was taking notes during the commercial breaks.
No, I saw you taking notes. That made sense, because I saw you. I'm like, oh, he's making notes for the show.
But I was doing that a lot. I was trying not to do that during the actual game, and I tried to do that regardless during. But if it was a Friday night, and we don't have a show to do Saturday, it would have been a little bit of a different scenario.
Yeah.
I might have even Ubered there, and we could have had some fun. But it's a Sunday. We got business to attend to on Monday. So
exactly.
You're watching the game less from a basketball, oh, this is fun perspective, and from, all right, what's the angle that we got to take with this game perspective?
Yeah.
People around are texting and posting on Instagram, and it's like people want to be at games now, not because they love games, but because they want to show everybody that they're at a game.
God, that drives me crazy, too.
Which is why the Golden One Center had to create the super-duper Wi-Fi arena that everybody can use their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and I get that. That was that was an outstanding idea to think that forward, to be that forward thinking, okay, this is what we can handle, and it's a great little addition.
And the point of all of this is to go back to Adam Silver's remarks is whether the game, if you could shorten the game by an hour, you're still going to have people sitting around on their phones doing social media while they're at the game.
Yep.
It's not going to change. And you're right. And there's no question with all these devices. I mean, I got 5 screens in front of me. My attention span is a lot short. My attention span when I was younger was terrible. I think I have undiagnosed ADD, and I'm fine with that. Because it comes in handy for this job.
That's true.
But does anyone watch TV without their phone nearby or without an iPad or without a laptop in their lap? Because
I
don't.
I do, only because I'm often on delay and I don't want to see your text messages to give away what's happening. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I will leave my phone because I'm often recording and I'm doing something else. And then I come in and I start fast forwarding to pick up where you guys are. So I'll leave my phone away so I don't hear what you guys are doing or see what you guys are talking about. And then I catch up. You guys know my text would be like 4 hours late. Oh, that was a great play.
Yeah, what play, Ken?
I know. We're like, which game is he watching now?
Exactly. But, yeah, I don't like
that. The game from last Saturday?
Exactly. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. I understand the need to shorten a baseball game because that can go 3-plus hours.
Yeah.
And if there's a movie that's 3, I don't want to watch it. There's a threshold with movies that it's like, yeah, no, mm-mm. I'll probably watch that one in sections. Sporting event, like, I've never sat through a sporting event and went, man, or particularly a basketball game and thought, man, that went on forever. Unless I was sitting there, And we noted that the Oklahoma City game felt like it was a really long game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that first half seemed super long. It was just dragging.
It was unpleasant. That's yes. why. I think the more yeah. unpleasant the product is, the longer it feels.
True.
Anthony Tolliver of your Sacramento Kings joins us next here on The Lowdown.